The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour is live. We thank all of you for being here. We'll get some reaction from both Alabama and Oklahoma. We've already been to Texas. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Bubba is in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Bubba, we're doing great.
Hey, I really liked Tennessee's 2024 schedule that was revealed last night. They've always had a tough schedule. I know everybody goes back and forth about Alabama getting an easy schedule one year, Georgia getting... Tennessee has to play Georgia and Alabama every year, and I'm glad that hasn't changed. But honestly, I feel like this from previous Oklahoma games that Tennessee's played in the past, I think Oklahoma and Tennessee will develop into a natural rivalry. I don't know why I've got that feeling, but they it was a very intense ball game, the last one they played, and I think it'll develop into a very good rivalry.
Well, I think it will too. But you are correct. Tennessee, and we're not saying traditionally. I'm talking about throughout its entire history, has always gone all over the country playing big time opponents.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the fact that Josh Heupel's coaching at Tennessee will help. You know, I think that'll ignite the fan bases somewhat also. But I got a question for you. Did you ever take Dub's advice and go to Duckworth and get Mrs. Feinbaum some wings?
I have not yet, but I've got it bookmarked.
You definitely need to write that down because she will not be disappointed.
Okay,
but
well,
that's my two cents for today. You guys have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you for checking in with us for your two cents. John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, I've got more than two cents. By the way, nice tribute to Mike Leach, and I think you need 60% to get into the Coaches Hall of Fame. He's at 59.6, so hopefully they round him up on that, right?
Well, I thought they should have already done it myself, but they didn't.
Absolutely. Hey, when I look at the schedule, Arkansas, Florida are two teams that have some really tough schedules, and they've got some really challenging rosters. I think they're going to be hit hard by the new schedules. I think Alabama got a nice, you know, honest schedule to work with. Georgia is like Michigan. They're finally going to have to play varsity teams. And I think Texas is a little tougher than it looks because they got to go up to the Big House and play Michigan as well.
Yeah, that's the one thing about next year. The non-conference games for most of the major SEC opponents are brutal. I think, what is it, LSU has both USC and UCLA. You mentioned Michigan. Alabama goes to Wisconsin. Georgia plays Clemson. So that's all factored in, and I think it absolves the SEC of not going to nine games next year.
Absolutely. I think this is tough enough and honest enough. Can I ask you actually make a recommendation?
Sure.
You've got the big race coming up, and you know what I'm talking about, right? It's Flash Feinbaum against Lightning Larry.
Yeah, I'm worried about that.
I could tell you were ordering a medical equipment for Larry at the end of the race, and Larry's talking about drinking drinking a Bud Light, which was newsworthy, but
it was.
the bet should be if you lose, you go fishing with Larry, and that's problematic. You know that. But if Larry loses, no more tall boys for 1 month.
No, I couldn't do that to Larry. I'm not going to do it because we're already at the point where I'm giving him a 70 yard head start on a hundred yard dash.
I thought it was 7 minutes or 70 years, but it's...
I will put him at the 10-yard line if he wants. It really doesn't matter to me.
But he'll get a fibrillator when he gets done, right?
I'm afraid he will be hooked up to one during the race.
No. Good show, Paul. Thank you.
John, thanks for the call. Let's check out Michael in Florida. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Paul. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you.
I'm a South Carolina fan. I've been on the West Coast for almost 20 years, finally moved to and I looked at the schedule, and this isn't about strength of schedule or anything like that. It's South Carolina's schedule, it just geographically makes zero sense. Their closest away game is over 400 miles away in Alabama. If you look at the, if you look at any of their opponents, it's just, there's not even a border state. The fact they're not playing Georgia or Florida, because I've lived in Georgia, I currently live in Florida, there are South Carolina fans here. I was looking forward to going to seeing a game in Gainesville, going back to see a game in Athens. I mean, even Tennessee, that's, you know, but your minimum distance to go see them play is now 400 miles. I think it's just, I don't understand it. It makes no sense. It's just kind of insulting to South Carolina fans, I think. So just wanted your take on it. I hope the schedules change eventually, but yeah, I'm just, as far as geographic-wise, it just makes no sense, not happy.
The big departure is obviously Georgia. That's the traditional SEC opener for both. And that game is gone. And I hear you, but I don't think for this schedule, the SEC could give a lot of thought to geographical distance. It's just not, it was not part of the equation. The equation had everything to do with strength of the last 10 years. And then there was a little bit of, this was done by a computer, and then obviously some human element played into it. So I'm sorry you feel that way, but I don't think that was a big factor. Bill is up next. Good afternoon, Bill.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Bill, we're doing well. Thank you.
Love the new schedules. I'm like the gentleman you interviewed early on. I wish you started this year.
I wish
but
you did,
we
too.
Can, you know, hopefully I'll be around your, you know, next season too. But I'm really excited about it. I think all of us are going to learn that we can stand some more good ball games. I just hope my heart holds on for some of these. And I got something I'd like to say to Dwayne. Alabama is not dead. We're just laying real still, okay? And he's got a coach, I think, that will prove out to be what's his name? Used to be at Georgia. Mark Richt.
Right.
I think this will be a Mark Richt 1A. Couple of 3 years, I think the fire will die down, and ain't going to be nobody there to stoke it up.
Well, Bill, take care of your heart. That's the most important thing. Chip is up next in Georgia. Hey, Chip.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how you doing today?
Chip, we are doing great. Thank you.
Good. I'm going to change the narrative a little bit and get away from the scheduling and everything else. I've always thought that you and Laura Rutledge had the best chemistry of any two sportscasters ever. So my understanding is, if I'm not mistaken, that you are Reese's
godfather.
Yeah, godfather. That's right. And I just want to know how she was doing with her new son. And that's it.
Well, yeah, thank you for saying that. Laura and I, we literally lose sight of time when we're together. Jack Alexander Rutledge is her son, born on May 25th, 7 pounds, 6 ounces. So I've checked in with Laura once or twice. She seems to be doing very well. I think you'll see her relatively soon. And it's always great when she is on. It's not only great, it's sensational.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Mr. Powell, because y'all two certainly have a great chemistry together, and I'll let you go after that, and thank you for a great show, sir.
Well, thank you. The thing about when we get together is that we forget, and at least I do, that we're doing a show, and it gets scary sometimes in terms of some of the things that we both bring up. Let's talk to Tanya.
Payroll check.
Tonio, Tonio, go right ahead.
All money, okay.
Tonio did not make the call. Let's go to Boston here next. Hey, Boston.
Hey, Paul. Who do you think will have what conference do you think will have the biggest advantage when the 12-team playoff comes because of home field advantage?
Well, I think the two that will get the most in will be obviously the SEC and the Big Ten. But I think the Pac-12 will get in and have an advantage for one reason. They haven't been part of the playoffs but one or two times. So that will be helpful to them if they can with a conference champion in the right ranking. So I think they will benefit the most. Hey, thank you for the call. We'll get some reaction from around the SEC and the new SEC. Mike Rodak covers the Tide. We'll find out what Nick Saban thinks of the new schedule.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Well, naturally, we're interested in the reaction from Alabama. Nick Saban, of course, is the GOAT. We heard yesterday about how young he is appearing at the youth camp. Let's get to his day job now. Not a camp counselor, but the head football coach, and the reaction from the inner sanctum to the schedule last night. Mike Rodak covers the team, joining us now. Mike, thanks. Appreciate the time. I don't know if Saban has been around today, but certainly you're plugged into those near and dear to him. What has been the reaction from Tuscaloosa about what we learned about Alabama's 24 schedule?
Well, it's an opportunity. I think that's sort of the way that it can be spun, where, you know, there's no sense in complaining or trying to change it anymore. I mean, it is what it is. And we heard Nick Saban 2 months ago. It was almost a slip of the tongue on his part, but he was on, you know, the radio show in Birmingham the next round and essentially said, you know, we need to take it back from Georgia. He didn't use Georgia's name specifically, but made it pretty clear on where he thinks things are in the SEC. And, you know, obviously they are what they are. Georgia's back on top. And so you get a schedule next year that allows you to play Georgia, which was unexpected. I don't think a ton of people coming into this week were thinking that game was going to be on Alabama's schedule, but it is. And that's the way they have to look at it, is it's an opportunity for them to show that they can beat Georgia, that they're still around, they're still here, which is obviously something that has, you know, slipped the past couple of years. So that's really the approach.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, they've got a really good chance of seeing Georgia again at the end of this season. So talk about opportunity if they pull that one off and then do it again. All this narrative by Georgia Nation goes right out the window. But the one thing that he also was complaining about in a previous interview, Mike, was the three permanents that it appeared Alabama was going to get. That's Auburn, naturally, LSU, and Tennessee. We didn't go to that in this one, perhaps one off, but he still got the same three. How do you think he's going to feel about that?
Yeah, it's something that's hard to get around. And even when he said that back in March, I was questioning it myself a little bit, in the sense that, I mean, Alabama's going to play Auburn every year. Like, you can't get rid of that game. And he's talked year after year. I can picture myself in the press conference room before the Tennessee game, him talking about how much that game means to everybody in both states. So I really don't think he was arguing about getting rid of the Tennessee game. I think the argument came down to, are you going to play LSU every year, or are you going to play Mississippi State? And I think we can all agree that LSU has been the more competitive game. LSU is the game that draws in the television crowd, and LSU is probably the game that Alabama fans want to watch more. So that's where it is for this temporary 2024 schedule, and I still think that's going to be where it is going forward after that, despite Nick Saban's complaints to Sports Illustrated that those three permanent opponents were tough. So then you add on top of that, you know, the Georgia game and having to go to Oklahoma, and you know that's even worse than what it's been for Alabama. But that's just what the SEC is going to be. You add teams like Texas and Oklahoma, somebody's got to play them, and obviously every school's going to have a chance too. And Alabama's going to have to go to Norman to do it.
On top of that, Alabama goes to Wisconsin next year. Everyone has tough games. Georgia, Clemson, LSU has USC. And I realize we can't look ahead, but you know, it brings the question up about the quarterback situation this year, which I think is the one that you're getting and everybody's getting. What can you tell us about that room that seems to be a mess at the moment?
Yeah, I think unsettled, undecided are the words that come to mind. I know, you know, there's been a little bit made of Jalen Milroe working out with, you know, receivers and, you know, some of these offseason things. And that, you know, that happens to some extent every year. I don't know if that necessarily is a strong indicator of where things stand. I do think that when they open practice the first week of August, that first snap is most likely going to be taken by Jalen Milroe. But Ty Simpson's going to get his chances still. And Tyler Buchner is really the name that they need to figure out where is he after his injuries and kind of making that transition to a new program, into a new playbook. Even though he's coming back to Tommy Rees, this is still going to be a new playbook, what Alabama runs. How does he transition? Because, you know, Nick Saban's seen 2.5 years of Jalen Milroe. He's seen 1.5 years of Ty Simpson. He hasn't seen Tyler Buchner, and he still, no matter how much he's seen out of those other two guys, decided to go get Tyler Buchner. And it's hard for me to get past that decision on Nick Saban's part and what it might mean in the sense that, you know, I think Buchner still has a very legitimate chance of winning this job.
We heard from others about there's such a new enthusiasm at Alabama. You know, the two coordinators that Nick Saban held on to perhaps too long are gone. And now you got Kevin Steele back for his third tour of duty, and Tommy Rees, this hot young OC. What are you hearing, Mike, in relation to, because we don't know much, but what are you hearing in relation to how that is going so far?
Well, I think for Steele, it's about the discipline aspect, making sure that there's not these mental errors that just kept coming up under Pete Golding. I think the two images that are still burned in Alabama's fans' minds are right before the LSU touchdown in overtime, when you have players running on and off the field at the last second, and then the Tennessee game. You know, when you have, you know, just absolute breakdowns in coverage, you have a safety in DeMarco Hallams covering a player he should not have been covering. And I think the expectation and what players, you know, said going back to the spring was that things were just going to be a little bit tighter under Kevin Steele, that he's someone who's been around college football for a long, long time. He knows exactly what Nick Saban wants. There's no getting to know each other period like there was between Saban and Golding. So he's essentially more of an extension of Saban himself than Golding was. And with Tommy Rees, you know, I do think there is, you know, Bill O'Brien coming from the NFL, not being old, but being on the older side compared to Rees, I think, you know, there's the expectation that Rees is going to connect more with the players. We heard, I think, one player say he has more swag back in the spring. So, you know, how that translates onto the field and games, we'll have to see. But, you know, I think a little bit of a cultural shift offensively.
Mike, before you go, you alluded to Saban a minute ago, new coordinators. He alluded to that Georgia situation in that interview locally. I mean, nobody really knows what's inside his mind. And it's not like, even when the questions come, he does much in terms of answering them. So I'm asking you, as somebody around that program who watches Nick Saban, the nuances, the moves. What do you think is going through his mind about entering this season? Everyone knows his age. Everyone talks about how young he looks. Everyone talks about everything except the fact that another season without a championship will be three, and especially if it goes to Georgia. And then the argument about the Saban dynasty doesn't seem to be an argument at all.
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I think he's such a competitor. He's someone that I think it's really hard to unplug him. And so, it has to be gnawing at him, you know, the fact that, I don't think it's a disputable fact that Georgia has overtaken the conference the last 2 years. I don't think there's much doubt about that. And even Saban himself has talked about that. So, when he's been asked lately too about sort of his future and what might happen, I think he's accepting more of his age being a potential detriment in recruiting and people trying to use it against him. And it's kind of that collision between he just wants to keep going and going because that's how he's built and that's how he's wired, and also just the wisdom that he has that there's an acceptance that there will be an end. And when exactly that end comes, we don't know, but there's a collision there. And I don't know which part of that's going to win and when exactly it will end, but the pressure is certainly on to win another one before it's all over for him.
And on that, and listen, Mike, I don't think there's a 71-year-old, well, with possible exception of people that are in political office, who really can't accept their age. I mean, most people that are of that age have retired. I mean, I wonder if in Saban's mind, though, his running buddy, Bill Belichick, even though his career has really faded badly, is still plugging along. They're about the same age, I think, or maybe a year apart. Do you think that factors into it, the fact that his closest friend in coaching is essentially doing the same thing he's doing, although Saban's doing it now at a higher level than Belichick?
Yeah. I think you kind of look around too. I mean, there's coaches who have kept going for better or worse. I mean, Coach K was winning right until the end. You know, Jim Boeheim coached into his mid-70s, wasn't winning towards the end. It kind of goes both ways. And I think it raises the question to me and probably to Nick Saban himself that how do you want it to end? Do you want it to end on a high note? Can you win another title and then walk away? Or if you win another title, are you convincing yourself that you can keep doing it, that you're still good enough to keep winning and keep going? Or do you go out on, you know, missing the playoff or losing a bowl game or something like that and just say it's clear that it's over? Or does that motivate you to keep going to try to prove people wrong? I mean, you can make arguments both ways, and I'm sure that those things cross his mind, and I'm not sure that there's a clear path for him out of the game necessarily.
But Mike, finally, you see this in all people who are in positions of power. Those are practical decisions to make. Do I want to leave on top? Nobody, almost nobody does, by the way. You know that. You've covered the NFL at the highest level, and the man I just got through mentioning. But they're family considerations. I mean, you'd have to say the Dick Saban's family likes being part of Alabama royalty. He's got a big staff. Coaches hate to leave because it does disrupt. And I wonder, you measure that versus his standard line that I've heard now for 10 years about he's never done anything else. That would apply to a lot of people, whether they work in a factory, on a loading dock, or on an oil rig. It's pretty much all the same for most people. But, you know, can he delineate that? Can he look through all that? Because he's still not far from the top of the game. He's just not at the top of the game anymore.
And I think he's done a good job of compartmentalizing things, especially since he's had grandchildren. So there's times of the year that he just shuts it off and goes and is with his family or is golfing or is in Florida, et cetera. And he's very good at doing that. But those times, and he talked about this a lot lately, are really shrinking because of, you know, the realities of college football and the portal and recruiting and all that. I think he even came out with a stat a week or two ago where he was saying his coaches worked 7 days a week for like 40 weeks out of the year. And so if that's what it requires to win at this level in this day and age, and he can't do that while still maintaining what he wants to do on a family level, then there's a conflict there. And that could play into his decision as well.
We did go to Italy, didn't he?
And I think that was something that was my understanding. He was kind of dragged there as part of an event, shall we say.
I mean, I don't know why, Mike. I apologize for laughing at that. Just the idea of Nick Saban, you know, being drugged through the airports in Milan, just is a funny sight. I wish we had video of that. Mike, thank you. Great conversation. We really appreciate it. What a really interesting conversation with Mike about just trying to guess. I mean, none of us know what's going on in his head, so we got somebody there who's fairly close to the scene to give it a shot. We'll take a short break. We'll get your reaction right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back. We've certainly interested in getting reaction from everywhere. We've been to Austin, so now we head to Oklahoma. Ryan Haber joining us from the Oklahoman last night. Big watch party. Everybody checking out what would happen. And there is the coach probably watching the SEC Network for the first time ever. Ryan joining us. Good afternoon, Ryan. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. So take us back to last night and set the scene for us and what the reaction was. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I was curious over what the turnout would be last night for the announcement of the schedule. Obviously, the 2023 schedule announcement didn't come till just a few months ago, so not a whole lot of people were, I think, had 2024 on their minds, except for OU fans are getting fired up for the move to the SEC. I think that showed last night as, packed house there at Rudy's in Norman, and Brent Venables showed up. He also had the SEC Network on. People are trying to get acclimated to that a little bit, but they didn't have to wait long last night because OU's was the first one announced. And I think people are fired up for the schedule that they've got coming up in a couple of years with Alabama, Tennessee, and South Carolina coming to Norman.
Yeah, certainly that. I mean, and Brent Venables 100% knew what the schedule was since it was sent out the day before. But I give him credit for being a man of the people. Ryan, beyond him, just give us what you picked up from the Sooner Nation in terms of what they saw. They liked it, but they also know we're talking about a completely different world, are we not?
Yeah, it's a little bit different from the Big 12 schedule when you look at it and there's really only one or two, maybe three games that you pick out as possible games that OU loses. Now, obviously, last year was a little bit different with all the transition there. But, you look at this schedule that they've got coming up in 2024, and it's unlike anything they've ever faced before. Generally, OU has gone out and scheduled really aggressively in the non-conference slate, but it's been really Texas and Bedlam as the two that you sort of worried about going into the year. This is much different with the teams that you mentioned that are coming to Norman, with the trips that they've got to Baton Rouge and Auburn. A couple of places that they've never been, Ole Miss, same thing. OU's never been to any of those three. So the depth is certainly something that's different. And I think there's a lot of OU fans that are excited about the possibility, excited about the home games that they get, excited about the opportunity to take some new road trips. But also there's some trepidation over what that means for the Sooners' record. You know, it's going to be really hard and almost impossible to carry the record that they've carried over the last 20-something years since Bob Stoops got there to dominate the way that they have overall in the Big 12. That's not going to happen in the SEC. But so I think there's a little bit of both those things at play. But I think most people are pretty fired up about it.
Yeah, Ryan, what's interesting is that Missouri game, because that used to be a big game for Missouri, playing Oklahoma every year. I don't know how big it was for Oklahoma, considering the dominance, but I found that one to be very interesting on top of everything else.
Yeah, no doubt about it. These are teams that were in the same conference for almost a century, playing against each other virtually every year until Missouri left for the SEC about a decade ago. And that's a place that got a little bit more difficult there at the end with what Gary Pinkel did there. But I think historically, obviously, OU has dominated that series. But I think that's sort of one of those welcome to the SEC type of games for OU. And it'll be interesting to see how that schedule lines up as far as which games go early. Do they pop out with that Alabama game that sort of highlights OU's SEC schedule next year? Or do they start with like a Missouri that somewhere they're a little bit more familiar with? At least Brent Venables is. I don't know that anybody on his staff or team is. But certainly will be interesting to see that. I don't know if rivalry is the right word, but that series renewed in a different conference.
Ryan, what about Tennessee coming in there? They played a couple of years ago, and that wasn't really the issue now. It's Josh Heupel coming back to a place where he has a brilliant reputation as a player, helping the Sooners win a national championship, but a more complicated past as a coach. What is that going to be like in your mind?
Yeah, I think he's going to be received great from the OU fans. You know, they all remember 2000 and that national championship and what it meant to bring that level of play back to Norman after it had been gone for so long. I think people have largely forgot the way that his offensive coordinator tenure ended with him getting fired by Bob Stoops. But I think it's clear that there have been some hard feelings on Josh Heupel's part about it. And I really hope that they're able to find a way to start bridging that relationship and find a way to honor him in that game, because there's no doubt that he is a big piece of OU's, at least I say it's been 23 years at this point, but this modern era of OU football really kicked off with those teams that Josh Heupel had in 99 and 2000.
Ryan, finally, what about this year? Last year was a mess, as you alluded to. Certainly, fans are upbeat, they're optimistic, and they Brent Venables needs a really good season, because you'd hate to limp into the SEC. What does it look like to you?
Yeah, and that's sort of what he talked about last night. Is he basically said that the quote was, "If we just get better on defense, we're going to win 10 plus games and have a chance to hang a banner up at the end of the year." And I know a lot of folks got fired up about that, especially the Austin folks had a little bit of fun with it. But listen, the schedule lines up pretty well for them with Arkansas State, SMU, and Tulsa in their non-conference. There's no really behemoth there that they've generally had. You know, there's no Nebraska that they had last year on that schedule. They don't have Kansas State, a team that's sort of been a thorn in their side the last few years. Texas Tech is not on the schedule. So they've got a pretty favorable one overall. I think they've got a chance to build up some momentum. I think the biggest thing that they need to do as they make the move to the SEC, though, is refine the recruiting side of things. And Brent Venables has put together a couple of really solid classes, but they really need to have some success on the defensive line, getting some of those guys that are going to battle in the trench on this team to get them SEC ready for 2024, because as you know, it's a different world on the lines in the SEC versus what OU has faced in the Big 12 over the last couple decades.
Ryan Haber covers the Oklahoma Sooners for the Oklahoman. Thank you very, very much. What a great conversation that was. And it's I don't want to look past this season, but it's just the excitement continues to build for 24. Let's take a short break. We have a lot more to do. We've already covered Oklahoma and Texas and a few other guests, Alabama. We talked to Bruce Feldman. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We're back. Let's get more reaction on the day after. Larry is up next.
What's up, Jack?
Hey there, old Larry.
Hey, Todd's out of surgery and he's okay right now.
Great to hear. Thank you.
So he's in recovery. I'm going to go see him tomorrow.
Well, let us know.
I will. Hey, I want to say something, man. I've seen Georgia. I've seen their schedule. And, you know, I want Dale to pay close attention. Dale, if you saw that, look down there where it says recruiting rank. Number two, Dale. Number deuce. Number two. Alabama, number one. Number uno, baby. So pay attention, Dale. You don't say you run your mouth and you don't know Jack what you're talking about.
Now, Larry, is that the Larry from Shelby recruiting rankings you're talking about?
No, it's on Georgia. When you pull up Georgia's schedule, pull it up.
Yeah.
And look at that. What is where it says recruiting, right? And it's number two. And you know the best thing? Georgia's not going to, in 24, Georgia ain't going to have to wait all year to get that ass whipped. Because when they come to Tuscaloosa, it's going to be a beat down on them dogs. I'm telling you right now. And I'm worried about how many sit-ups my man can do. Hey, I man, you look like a damn caveman. Don't he? Yeah, that picture scares me, man. I wish I'd get a copy of that picture. I'd put it on my door, keep the evil spirits away.
Might keep
but
the crows away, too.
Let me ask you something. Number 11 transferred from Tennessee to Alabama. Is that strange or what?
Larry.
Yeah.
Larry,
I mean,
nothing,
that coach is Tennessee.
It's not strange anyone would want to go to Alabama.
Yeah, that's true. But number 11, boy, I tell you what, he's a heck of a player. But that coach in Tennessee ain't got to worry about no setups. His fat thing. I bet he ain't seen his wigwam no telling how long. Oh, roll tide, Paul. We love you, baby.
Did he say what I thought he said about Josh Heupel? Dustin is up next in Tulsa. Hey, Dustin.
Well, I was in a bad mood, and I was ready to go off on John from Louisville until Larry said that, but I'll still go off on John from Louisville. So the brain trust up there thinks that Arkansas has roster issues. John just told the entire world that he hasn't paid a lick of attention to what Sam Pittman's done in the transfer portal or in the recruiting game, or in replacing his coaches, getting rid of three-man front Odom and that misogynist Kendall Browse and replacing him with quality guys, Arkansas is going to be a force to be reckoned with. So, John, stick to what you know and just keep kissing Paul's ass. We'll take care of the football. Now, aside from that, the schedule rollout, man, I love it. 24, we get Texas and Tennessee at home. That feels good, man. All four of our hardest games are at home. I'm excited about the season for once. Arkansas didn't get bent over. But the only thing that makes me happier than that is living up here in Tulsa among these idiot Sooners and watching the slow realization come over all of them that they bit off more than they could ever want to chew. These people are complaining about their schedule when they're basically playing the same schedule, give or take a couple of games, that everybody in the SEC West has been playing for the last decade, if not more. These guys are going
to... Dustin, they don't have Bedlam, which doesn't matter to anybody other than Oklahoma State fans. They don't have Texas Tech. They don't have some of the cream puffs that they're used to. We're out of time. 2 more hours to go.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.